All right. Thank you, Suzanne, and thank you, Nancy, for thinking of me. There's really nothing better if someone thinks of nature and they think of my name. That means that makes me happy and something's working. And what a great spot for it. I was up here earlier and I was looking around, and I think that you can see trees or at least grass from every table. So this is the next best thing to actually being outside for this conversation. I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to talk with you about why I think spending time outside can improve our health and well-being and maybe even our bottom lines as business owners. But would it be okay if I read a poem first? Okay, great. So you can follow along in the program if you'd like. It's in about the middle. You'll see my picture at the top of the page. Or you can choose to close your eyes and just take in the imagery. So this is a poem called Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are headed home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. So this is one of my favorite poems. And if you're wondering why am I reading a poem at a business meeting, I promise to tie it in by the time that we wrap up. But for now, as we consider nature as a contributor to well-being, I think we have to start with a shared understanding of wellness. What does it mean to be well? And instead of me telling you right away, I'm going to ask you to take a minute to answer that question with the person next to you. So the question is, what does it mean to be well? And literally, I'm going to give you a minute. So at about 30 seconds, I'll let you know it's time to switch. So let's go. Okay, time to switch if you haven't switched yet. Okay. All right, I have to break up this conversation. Okay, everybody. Thank you. Thanks for such a lively 1 minute discussion. I actually gave you about two. I don't know if it felt like it or not. But what does it mean to be well? What did you hear? Free of stress. Free yourself from stress. Okay, good. Yeah, what else?
Happiness.
Good.
To like yourself.
Say it again.
To like yourself.
To like yourself. Oh, that's huge.
Balance.
Okay, I heard balance here, and
I was saying balance too, but also being having gratitude.
Oh. Oh, gratitude, that's beautiful. Yeah. Somebody else had a hand up.
Taking care of yourself first, mm-hmm. because everybody tends to put themselves last, mm-hmm. and then you can't really care for others who mm-hmm. don't care for
yourself. Right? Absolutely.
It's all of it. It's not just to be well, it's not just your health, body, mind, all those things.
Yeah. Whole package. Okay, does anyone have one they're just really burning to say?
Your attitude. Good morning. Am I going to have a great day, or is this going to be a lousy day?
Oh, right. How you get out of bed. Was there a hand in the back?
It's really your optimum level of health, but physical, mental, emotional, spiritual.
Yeah. There you go. There's our definition. So as you can see, every person in this room would define wellness differently. But for me, it's when your physical health allows you to live your desired lifestyle. For me, a part of that is spending time outside. It's feeling well-loved and being able to reciprocate. It's feeling that you're growing as a person and a professional. It's knowing that you're living in accordance to your core values, whatever those may be. And it's being aware of your needs and your boundaries and being willing to self-advocate. I'm not a wellness expert. Those are just some things that came to me as I reflected. I very much appreciated hearing from you as well and hope that you'll have more time to reflect on it. So you personally may very well live a healthy, happy life and have a successful business without spending loads of time outside. But let me try to make the case for why I think you'll flourish if you spend more time in nature. First, I have to say, we're not flourishing as a society right now. We face a lot of issues at the societal level. We're overworked, overstressed, overweight, and overwhelmed. Is it any surprise that less than half of the U.S. population ages 6 and older spends time outside in nature? Less than half. And if you heard me right, I said 6 and older. That means a lot of children aren't getting outside. That's why Richard Louv, who wrote Last Child in the Woods, talks about a nature deficit disorder among children. And it's not just children. It exists with adults as well. We don't get enough time outside. This is part of why doctors prescribe time outside in nature. Doctors around the country are literally prescribing time outside. And you can see that the jump from 2006 to 2018. So there's something positive happening here in knowing that we need to be outside. It's also why people are so intrigued by the Japanese practice of Shinrin Yoku, better known as forest bathing. Does anyone know what forest bathing is? A few? It's described as the medicine of simply being in the forest. Medicine for what, though? Some of the measured benefits of spending time outside include reduced blood pressure, decreased stress levels, improved sleep, higher energy levels, increased concentration, and increased creativity. We're going to talk more about creativity in a few minutes, but how important are each of these for someone who is running her own business? To elaborate on a couple of these benefits, oh, I never flipped the slide. There they are. But I did? Oh, and then I flipped away? Let me know. I'm going to elaborate on a couple of those. Yeah, okay, good, meant to. So in Japan, researchers have found that forest walks can decrease the stress hormone cortisol by 16%. So the first thing that was mentioned when we talked about wellness was you know, not feeling stressed. Well, here's a part of the recipe for dealing with high stress. And by the way, RX, include the Latin root of that word or that term is comes from the idea of recipe. So a recipe for healing. And the National Geographic has reported that being outside in nature can increase creativity by up to 50%. So there's a huge benefit. And it gets even better in terms of creativity. There was a study by Stanford University that found that walking increases creativity by an average of 60%. So what the researchers did was they tested the creativity of individuals that sat in a room versus those that went outside for a walk or walked inside. So they were testing all three scenarios. And I'm guessing it's not going to be a surprise to you that those that were walking, whenever they were finished with their walking and they took a test, and it was a creativity test, they showed to be 60% more creative. Yeah. So what I probably shouldn't want you to know is those that walked indoors also were equally creative. So bottom line is move instead of sit when you're in. Even if it's a white room with no decorations, it does help. But you know, as I showed you, you know, in the last slide, there are a lot of other reasons that nature is beneficial. So there are other, you know, reasons to get out there. So I wanted to know, did any of you see a New York Times article a few weeks ago about how much time we need to spend outside in nature in order to reap some of the benefits that I shared? Anyone see that? Okay, so an English study followed participants from 2014 to 2016 and found that those who spent at least 120 minutes a week in nature experienced tangible health and wellness benefits. So 120 minutes a week. Not only do we know the benefits of being outside, which I think we've known for a while, and there's tons of research about it, now we know how much time we need to be out there. I believe in the power of nature and the potential of people. That's why with Cycle Forward, so much of what so much of what I do is nature-based. I describe my company as offering nature-based consulting and coaching. I create experiences that allow people to deepen connections to each other and to nature as they're out there. What this looks like in application is a What's Your Spark session offered for WBN last year. How many of you were there for that session? Learning how to build fire, and also you were becoming a stronger team as you did it and building confidence in a new skill. I offered it again for REI last summer, which was really cool to take it from WBN to REI. Another thing that I do, I offer women's nature retreats. My retreats get people outside and allow them to slow down and to connect with each other. And it's typically women. I sometimes offer you know, to all genders, but it's typically women who take me up on the offer. And next week, I'll be offering Gremlins in the Woods, which is a workshop and a full moon hike in Frick Park. And we're gonna be taking a look at our own gremlins. If you don't know the term gremlin, that's just another term for your own inner critic, that voice in your head that tells you you are not enough, you are too this, you can't try that. So we're gonna take a look at that next week. And I actually have a discount code for you on your tables. So a part of the reason that I enjoy getting people outside is that it awes them. I read last week that a sense of awe, the kind that we experience when participating in outdoor activities, plays a role in well-being and life satisfaction. And this sense of awe or wonder need not be epic. I've been awed by the sight of a tiny baby praying mantis and a sunset viewed from my back porch. just as I have felt the wonder in standing and looking at the Grand Canyon. You might not think of yourself as being outdoorsy, but you could see, or can you see, the value of simply being outside in a state of mindful appreciation? Yeah, I see a lot of heads nodding. I took just 5 minutes earlier and walked this path. This is a great park. And, you know, in 5 minutes, I saw robins and rabbits, coneflowers, daisies, blackberries, bumblebees. I saw a lot of nature in just 5 minutes, and it changed my state of mind. Let me show you a bit about some women whose lives have been enhanced by being outside. By the way, before I do that, this is just like what some of the magazine covers are looking like now. I mean, the news is out. Nature is good for you. We know it. We inherently know it. And now the research is telling us that. The magazines are, the newspapers are telling us that. It's really great. It makes my job easier. So as for the women who are getting outside, this is a magazine article about a group of Afghan women who were the first in their country to attempt to climb their nation's highest peak. So if you can just stop for a moment and imagine in a society like Afghanistan, the impact of feeling strong and learning a new skill and literally climbing a mountain, how that would change a woman's life. Closer to home, this is my friend Carrie. She biked 5,700 miles around the country a couple of years ago. She came to a WBN chapter meeting while she was visiting, and she, you know, she interviewed an inspiring woman while she was out and about the country, and then she went home and she created this Women Who Dare podcast. So that gave her a livelihood and a purpose and a chance to connect with other women. This is Stacy. Stacy lives in the Laurel Highlands, and she biked a fraction of what Carrie biked. She did 150 miles on the Great Allegheny Passage, and she went alone, and she addressed a lot of her fears about biking alone and camping alone, and she described that trip, which was solo, as I said, as sopping it to the fear culture. This is Penny. Penny lives in Canonsburg, and she came on a group kayaking trip a few years ago and didn't, you know, own a kayak or anything. All of the equipment was supplied. She loved it so much that she went home, and then she went to a Dick's store and she bought her own pink kayak. And then the next year she came back with her kayak and she floated with us. And then we finished the trip by teaching people how to do stand-up paddle boarding. And you can see just by the smile on Penny's face what that was doing for her in that moment in terms of self-discovery and confidence. You can just see it on her face. And the last person is my friend Pam. Pam's a fellow coach, and I organize coaches' walks, and she always comes on them. And she said to me the last time, she said, "Amy, you are my connection to nature." And while I feel honored that she feels that, and that I've been able to be a bridge to nature for her, my hope is that she will build her own connection to nature, and that will, you know, happen over time. So something else that I believe about nature is that it's a space that is conducive to being authentic and vulnerable. We may be taking physical risk or stretching our own personal comfort zones by being outside. We may be in a position where we're made vulnerable because we rely on those we're with for help and for encouragement. Even in our mildest adventures and outings, we're making ourselves vulnerable. I offer four-season personal coaching held outside on trails. That's a part of what I do. That means walking with clients in all conditions. So what that looks like is we sweat together in the summertime and blow our noses and get cat hair in the winter. We run out of breath walking up hills, and it feels kind of embarrassing whenever you're walking up a hill and can't finish your sentence. And more significantly, we open ourselves to each other in a space that's bigger than us. So there certainly is a tie between authenticity and the outdoors. Has anyone here heard of Brené Brown? Yeah, she's wonderful, and she's, you know, one of my inspirations. And in her book, Braving the Wilderness, she makes the connection between authenticity and true belonging. She says, true belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are. What I take from this is that we've got to be authentic. And if others aren't down with that, then so be it. It doesn't surprise me one bit, by the way, that she uses the wilderness as a metaphor for the bravery it takes to simply be oneself. And this brings me back to Mary Oliver's Wild Geese. Let's take another look at her lines as we wrap up. She tells us, you do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. I think this is important for us to remember as business owners. Of course, we all want to be successful, but to be well also includes allowing for balance and boundaries, imperfection, and gentleness exercised toward oneself. We are good at being gentle with others. How good are we at being gentle with ourselves? Oliver also writes, tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Those of you who are selling a product or a service know that the traditional sales approach doesn't work as well as building relationships does. Show of hands, do you agree with that statement? Just like Brené Brown, Oliver is telling us that we need to be real with one another, and we need to make ourselves vulnerable in order to build and nurture meaningful relationships. Of course, I'm not telling you to reveal all in the world of business, in the course of doing your business, but I'm sure that you will know, you know, when and what to share and how deep to go when it comes to your business relationships. At the end of the day, though, people trust people who they find to be authentic and want to know and be in business relationship with those people. And finally, Oliver ends with, whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. She acknowledges what is perhaps a universal loneliness. The phrase, the world offers itself to your imagination, brings to mind for me the stats that I shared around creativity, that we're 60% more creative when walking and 50% more creative just by being outside. The natural world is a really spectacular space to discover and foster your creativity. And if you are in business, do you need to be creative? But where Oliver is really going here is reminding us that we belong to the world, and we belong to nature. Sure, it can be harsh and exciting, but this is a part of it, and we are a part of it. Whether for you, being outside means sitting on a park bench, walking around the block, or going on epic adventures, we belong to nature. So sometimes people tell me that they don't have time to get outside, going back to that 120 minutes a week. I'm guessing some of you thought, where am I going to find that time? But if you break it down by the day, or if you break it down by a few trips around the block each day, you might just find it. But those people tell me they can't afford to take the time. But I hope that you'll agree with me that we can't afford not to. Thank you.